This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Going to pot. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Critics complain a new White House directive describing marijuana as no more dangerous than Tylenol is really just a political ploy meant to attract the youth vote in the run-up to Election Day.
They're seeing their polls crater across the board, including most dramatically with young people. So they're in the business now of trying to reorder society, including with the student loan debacle and now with this marijuana reclassification, to try to buy votes, to try to get young people back.
Monica Crowley was the assistant treasury secretary under former President Trump. New research shows even just casual use of marijuana increases the risk of depression and suicide in youth.
And it's filling emergency rooms with cannabis use disorders. Did you know that one out of three kids, teens, who smoke pot regularly have hallucinations or paranoid episodes? This is an extremely dangerous drug.
Fox News medical correspondent Dr. Mark Siegel will talk more about the politics of pot later on today's Capital Connection program. Bulldozers are being used to clean up the mess left behind from a campus encampment at UCLA. Raya police were called in two nights ago to break up the pro-Palestinian mob.
Get back! Yes, sir. Get back!
This protester vows to keep up the resistance.
We need to resist. We need to keep protesting, and that's the only way change will be made.
Problem is, these kids are so dumb, they have no idea what they're saying, which, in my opinion, makes them dangerous.
Ex-law enforcement officer Aaron Cohen.
One of these kids gets killed, gets hurt. One of these cops gets killed, gets hurt. Something happens, it's going to spark off. And they got to smash these things now.
Reporter Liz Kreutz says outside agitators are fanning the flames of the anti-Israeli uprising.
Of the 282 people arrested at Columbia and the City College of New York, the NYPD and mayor's office say nearly half were not affiliated with those schools.
More than 2,100 arrests have been made at college campuses coast to coast. Correspondent Alexis McAdams is at one of those colleges today.
Protesters out at Rutgers University in New Jersey taking down their solidarity encampment after organizers say their university has now agreed to work with them on their list of demands, including divesting from Israel and giving at least 10 students from Gaza a scholarship.
President Biden says while he supports the right to protest, dissent must never lead to disorder. It's day 11 of the hush money trial of Donald Trump. The prosecution's trying to prove the ex-president falsified business records to conceal an affair while running for office in 2016. A verdict in the case expected in late May or early June. Trump hand-delivered pizzas yesterday to firefighters in Manhattan after his trial wrapped up for the day. A foot of rain has fallen on parts of Houston, Texas. Carl Parker with the Weather Channel.
That is about a quarter of what Houston gets on average every year. That's a tremendous amount of rain.
Reporter Kathy Parr.
The creeks and rivers here in Harris County are so swollen right now. The water is overflowing and flooding these businesses and homes.
It is the first worst flooding to hit America's fourth largest city since Hurricane Harvey decimated Houston in 2017. Parts of busy I-95 closed today in Connecticut after a tanker truck fire damaged a bridge overpass. Reporter Emily Aketa.
We're already seeing the impacts from that terrible crash. Schools in the area are closed today, and officials are urging people to work from home if they can to help ease the traffic that's resulted from the shutdown of this major travel artery.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says repairs are going to take a while.
The bridge was damaged. The heat from the burning fuel compromised some of the bridge, so that bridge is going to have to come down.
Lamont says the hope is to reopen the interstate by Monday morning. We'll see. A jury in L.A. has sentenced a scuba boat captain to 4 years in prison for criminal negligence. Jerry Boylan skippered a vessel that caught fire off the coast of California in 2019, killing 34 people on board. This relative of one victim is not satisfied.
He never once said, "I was wrong." And that's the part that angers me tremendously. He never accepted responsibility for his role in this.
When the fire broke out on Labor Day 5 years ago, Boylan was the first to jump ship. Another Boeing whistleblower has died suddenly. Joshua Dean raised concerns about safety defects with the airplane maker. Correspondent Jim Krasula.
His family says he was in good health until 2 weeks ago when he was hospitalized after testing positive for influenza, MRSA, and pneumonia. Dean raised concerns about defects in 2022 and was fired less than a year later.
The 45-year-old Dean is the second Boeing whistleblower since March to pass away under suspicious circumstances. The House Judiciary Committee is holding a field hearing today in Philadelphia to shine the spotlight on soft-on-crime policies. Their target is embattled District Attorney Larry Krasner, whom critics contend has made Philadelphia unfit to live in.
Citizens of Philadelphia deserve better, and any politicians that sit on their hands and don't open their mouths and say that he's the problem are just part of the problem themselves.
That's Joel Fitzgerald, who lost his son Christopher, a Temple University police officer, in February of last year. Fitzgerald was killed while responding to a robbery in Philly. Exercise that makes you huff and puff reduces your risk of early death. Experts analyzed nearly 200 studies the past couple of decades to come to that conclusion. What they found is those with high fitness levels had a 20% lower risk of premature death. This year marks the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. A preview of tomorrow's race from reporter Ed Peek in Louisville.
A full field of 20 will go to post Saturday at Churchill Downs for Kentucky Derby 150. Fierceness, the two-year-old juvenile champion, is favored.
The Kentucky Derby is the longest continuously held sporting event in these United States. President Biden honors 19 Americans at the White House this afternoon with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It is the nation's highest civilian honor. This year's honorees include former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, former Vice President Al Gore, and former TV talk show host Phil Donahue. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Friday, Word of Life father released from prison, new protections for moms-to-be, and Hochul's red line when it comes to college protests.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. We've had a nice couple of days, but changes are coming for the weekend. That does mean some showers, even some thunder. Forecast hotels are up in 10.
Okay, Kevin, we will see you then. Three homes in Niagara Falls, New York were damaged this week after a house exploded a couple of nights ago. What a scene that was. The force of the blast tossed two people from a porch, and miraculously, both survived with little to no injuries. They spoke to WIVB in Buffalo.
Life can truly end in an instant, and you don't realize that to its full capacity until something like this does happen.
But I seen the porch take off into the sky. I curled up to a ball until all the wind and glass stopped blowing and that. And then once I got up, I seen her emerge from the smoke.
Honestly, every time I close my eyes, it's all I see. Like I said, it was something like this from the scene of a movie.
The woman who lived in the home smelled gas right before the blast. She says it smelled like rotten eggs, and that's how she knew it was time to get out of there. The woman says a plumber had turned the gas on less than an hour before the home exploded. A murderous Pennsylvania nurse has just been sentenced to life in prison. She's 41-year-old Heather Presti, and she played a role in the deaths of 17 patients at five healthcare facilities in four counties near Pittsburgh. Presti administered lethal doses of insulin to those patients. Nearly half of the pro-Palestinian protesters arrested at colleges in New York this week had no affiliation with those schools. Here's reporter Scott Pringle.
Officials say 134 of the 282 people taken into custody on the campuses of Columbia and City College are what Mayor Adams calls professional outside agitators with no connection to the schools. Officials say most arrested did not cooperate with the NYPD, slowing down the process of identifying them. That includes a wife of a convicted terrorist and several others with criminal histories associated with numerous other protests. Scott Pringle, New York.
Thank you, Scott. Southern Tier Congressman Mark Molinaro says college presidents must crack the whip, so to speak, when it comes to anti-Semitic activity on campus.
When we are confronted with these kinds of eruptions, we want to de-escalate, but we want to disband. Sadly, too many college presidents are seeking simply to keep the peace.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says when it comes to campus turbulence, there is a red line that cannot be crossed.
The Constitution allows people to gather and peacefully protest. But when it veers into destruction, violence, trespassing, then they must be prosecuted.
The protests of late have been mostly peaceful at college campuses in upstate New York, though there were some skirmishes overnight at SUNY New Paltz. Demonstrations have also taken place at Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Binghamton, and for the most part, as we said, those have been without incident. There is a growing list of Pennsylvania politicians who want to ban cell phones in school.
We have to get them off these devices for at least a portion of their day.
That's State Senator Ryan Aument, who introduced a bill yesterday that incentivizes schools to adopt no phone zones in the classroom.
I think it's key to actually secure the phones and to give kids a break.
A new Pew Research poll finds 45% of teenagers today feel overwhelmed by the drama they see on social media. The American Psychological Association says the rate of teenage depression has increased a whopping 150% since smartphones became popular in the early 2010s. There's an effort to overhaul the energy industry in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Brian Query has more on the going-ons in Harrisburg.
The Pennsylvania Senate has passed a bill that would create a new independent energy office to deal with the state's electricity needs and related matters. The bill includes a reorganization of the Energy Development Authority, which is responsible for giving grants and loans to energy-generating projects. The new authority would have broad powers to give energy projects waivers and exemptions from permits from the Department of Environmental Protection and to use its own third-party reviewers. The bill, which passed on a party-line vote, was hailed by Republicans but faces an uphill battle and is unlikely to be well-received in the Democratic-controlled House. Brian Query, Family Life News.
All right, Brian, thank you for that. A father who beat two of his sons at the Word of Life Church in Oneida County, New York, has just been released from prison. Bruce Leonard and others in that congregation whipped Lucas Leonard and his brother Christopher in October of 2015. Lucas passed away hours later from his injuries. The father was sentenced to 10 years behind bars. His wife was also implicated in that horrific cult-like disciplinary tactic. She was released from prison 4 years ago. A total of 9 people, including the pastor of that church, were charged for their roles in that fatal beating. New York is the first state to mandate employers offer paid prenatal leave to expectant mothers. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Starting next year, pregnant employees will get an additional 20 hours of paid sick leave for prenatal care without using their existing sick time. Another bill eliminates co-pays and out of pocket costs for pregnancy-related benefits for any New Yorker enrolled in the Essential Plan or Qualified Health Plans. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, Jeremy, thank you very much. News you can use. Check your refrigerator, Pennsylvania. The State Agriculture Department is warning today about contaminated raw milk that was sold at stores in a dozen counties. The milk was manufactured by Apple Valley Creamery in East Berlin, Pennsylvania. That's in Adams County, and the milk may be contaminated with listeria. This is the Noon Report, a Friday edition on the Family Life Radio Network. Checking sports next, the New York Knicks advancing to the second round of the NBA playoffs. They eliminated the 76ers last night in Philly. New York rallied from a 10-point deficit, finished off the Sixers with a 3-point win. Game 6 of that hard-fought series, Knicks guard Jalen Brunson leading the way with 41 points, 12 assists. Josh Hart drained the go-ahead 3-pointer with 25 seconds remaining. The Knicks meet the Indiana Pacers in the next round. Game 1 set for Monday night at Madison Madison Square Garden, the Pacers knocked the Bucks out of the playoffs last night. The Toronto Maple Leafs have forced a Game 7 after trailing their Eastern Conference Series against the Bruins 3-1. Toronto edged Boston last night 2-1. William Nylander scoring his first goal since late March to give the Leafs the lead in the second period. They never looked back. The Bruins are hoping to avoid another 3-1 series collapse on Saturday at TD Garden. Pair of Western Conference Game 6s on tap tonight. The Canucks will try to eliminate the Predators in Nashville, while the Stars hope to do the same against the defending champion Golden Knights in Vegas. Baseball action last night. The Mets beat the Cubs 7-6 in extra innings. Francisco Lindor walked it off with a two-run double to give the Amazons that hard-fought win. The Yankees dropped their series finale against Baltimore 7-2 at Camden Yards. New York now trailing the O's in the AL East. Both the Pirates and Phillies at home tonight. Pittsburgh takes on Colorado. Philadelphia does battle against the San Francisco Giants. And the new MLB pitch clock rules are making a difference. The league says the average time of a 9-inning game is 2 hours and 36 minutes. That's a minute less than last year. MLB Players Association President Tony Clark claims the pitch clock is an unprecedented threat to the game and points to pitcher injuries as a result. The league says otherwise. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report for Friday, the politics of pot. We're talking about it on Capital Connection. Mailman to the rescue in Western New York, and Kev's got your weekend weather right after this.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Well, Americans today are lonelier than ever. Relationships, from casual socializing to friendships to marriages, have all been on a declining trajectory for some time now. In fact, in 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General published an advisory about, and I quote here, our epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Worst affected by America's loneliness epidemic has been men. Compared to 20 years ago, the amount of time men socialize face-to-face has dropped by almost 30%. Today, only 1 in 4 men have 6 or more close friends. 15% report having no close friends at all. Single men fare worse, with 1 in 5 lacking any close friends. Now, the reasons for this are varied. In part, men are lonelier because women are just more successful at emotionally connecting with others. In part, men are lonelier because they're more likely to live with and rely on their parents than their female counterparts are. In part, men are lonelier because everyone, male, female, old, young, black, white, etc., are all spending less time socializing overall and a lot more time these days on screens. Also, more young people are delaying marriage, the most intimate of all relationships, later than ever before. In fact, incentivizing marriage would seem like the most obvious solution to America's loneliness epidemic, and it probably is. Christians maintain that marriage was created by God and intended from the beginning to enable a profound intimacy between one man and one woman who are joined together in body and soul. Marriage is, statistically speaking, the major source for most people for emotional connection, for friendship, and for happiness. Still, for all its goodness, marriage was never meant to be the cure-all for all kinds of loneliness. As essential as marriage is, it is one of many vital social ties that were created by God in order to enable human flourishing. Alongside marriage, Scripture also upholds the significance of other relationships as well, mostly friendship. Among the stories of close friends and Holy Scripture include Job, who, after losing everything he owned and everyone he loved, was joined in his grief and suffering by his friends, who sat with him there in the dust. These friends were great comforts to Job, at least until they opened their mouths and offered advice that was both ill-timed and inaccurate. Ultimately, when it comes to the loneliness epidemic, both marriages and friendships are necessary, and they're not competing solutions. If the world really is to become less lonely, it'll be because Christians have something far better to offer than what people know, especially in our most intimate and important human relationships, both within our families and within our friendships. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. For more resources to live like a Christian today, go to Breakpoint.org.
All right, John, thank you very much. The weekend is here. Kevin Williams is near. His forecast.
next. For this afternoon, partial sunshine and warm. High temperature 70s and low 80s. Clouding up tonight. A couple of showers and thunderstorms in parts of the area tonight. Mainly western New York and western Pennsylvania. Low temps mostly 50s. Then for tomorrow and Sunday, rather cloudy, cooler. Some showers in the area from time to time. High temperatures over the weekend generally in the 60s.
Alrighty, Kevin, thank you for that. It's Friday, folks. Congratulations, you made it. It is the 3rd of May, and you're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Gear with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New York Families. Well, guys, I wasn't around when the Vietnam War protests were happening on American college campuses. But a lot of people are comparing these anti-Israel uprisings to those days. And Jason, I want to just start with you. I heard one commentator say this is the natural progression of things when indoctrination replaces education on college campuses. Is it time for Congress to pull back the purse strings for these federally funded schools that allow anti-Semitism to fester?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, there has to be some accountability for what's going on. And I certainly, as a taxpayer, don't want my dollars funding things that are just constantly undermining the values that I hold. And nowhere is that truer than in higher education today. It seems like more and more dollars are putting kids deeper and deeper in debt. It's not lowering tuition rates for these kids. And it's also leaving them, frankly, less patriotic than when they went in. That's a problem for every American.
Yeah, I got to think of those parents, Michael, that are paying $80,000 a year for their kid to go to Columbia so they can get taken away in handcuffs. They must be real proud right about now. What's your reaction to what you're witnessing on these college campuses from coast to coast?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, the late 60s, early 70s protests, I do remember some of that. I attended University of Maryland, and I remember seeing pictures of the big grassy area in the center of campus being filled with National Guard troops. And you see sort of a difference in how some of the red states are dealing with this versus the blue states. But I think we can call all these college campuses blue areas because the administrations oftentimes are failing to mete out the discipline that goes with the policies that they have. And then when you have death threats and those sorts of things, this goes way across the line even of what we saw in the Vietnam protest.
Yeah, indeed. I love the quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, my right to swing my fist stops at the end of your nose. We've gone past that point, and we'll see if cooler heads can prevail. Lots to get to when it comes to state politics. Jason, this week, New York Democrats, as expected, moved the medical aid and dying bill. Assisted suicide legislation, they are trying again to get that over the finish line. What are the chances of that, Jason? What other bills are you watching in the final weeks of this year's term?
Yeah, so the bill has been amended in both houses, which indicates to us it's being prepared to move in committee. So I expect when we return to the state capitol next week, that in the final month of session, there will be an effort to move assisted suicide. I'm pretty sure of that, but I am also sure that we will also be there to push back. I think that if every New Yorker unites on this front, we can still stop assisted suicide in our state.
They're going to be a close vote for sure. Michael, you got a couple months yet before the budget's due in PA. School funding is going to be a thorny topic as it was last year. A lot of people are predicting the school choice debate, the voucher program thing will come up again this year. Any chance of that happening based on what we saw last year and Governor Shapiro's broken promise?
I think the big question is there any chance that a budget will be done this year given the dysfunction in the legislature, especially in the Democrat House? But related to the school funding and the school choice issue, the Shapiro administration is saying that school vouchers
teachers are on the table. The Secretary of Education said that just this week. But as you may recall, the House Democrats scuttled his plan last year in the last budget cycle, and I don't really see a big shift there. That is, unless there's a lot of money doled out for House Democrat priorities in exchange for some of those school choice votes.
Gosh. Well, this is kind of interesting. Former Governor Cuomo, Jason, will testify in June before Congress about his COVID policies. A lot of people think he got off way too easy when he put infected people into nursing homes. What's going to come of that hearing in June?
Well, you know, I'm not always optimistic on hearings. Hearings are heard, but you wonder if a tree falls in the forest and no one's listening, does it make a sound? Sometimes that happens with hearings. What it may do is help hinder a little bit of the rehab image that Governor Cuomo is undergoing. There's still talk that he desires to run for office again, and maybe this will slow that down a bit.
Yeah, I know, Michael, you're fighting hard to keep recreational marijuana out of Pennsylvania. The Biden White House this week reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug. Instead of being dangerous like heroin, it's now dangerous like Tylenol, according to the Biden administration. Is that going to provide any fuel for Democrats in Pennsylvania to try to push this across the finish line?
They're looking for any and every possibility to try to push that across the finish line. Of course, the Biden administration has a blatant effort to get the youth vote as they're lagging in the polls and lagging even among the youth vote. That's why the Biden administration is rolling this out right now. But if anything, marijuana and the high potency products that are now available out there makes the drug much more dangerous than it was first classified as a class one drug. So this is heading in the opposite direction. But again, it's sort of a steamroll of the marijuana industry that has its tentacles now here in Pennsylvania and why we need to resist it because of the dangers of it.
There was a big story this week, Jason, out of Western New York. There's a pro-life group there, Compass Care, that is suing the Attorney General of New York, claiming that she had maliciously and intentionally using her office to restrict the constitutional rights of pro-lifers. Explain more of this litigation.
Yeah, Compass Care has joined with New Hope Family Services in Central New York and many other pregnancy centers across the state of New York. And essentially, they're going after now the Attorney General, who has come after them. We have the weaponization of our judicial arm here in New York. Much of what you hear about lawfare in the news today is now happening and has come home from pregnancy resource centers. The Attorney General, Letitia James, is really trying to shut these centers down. And so they've had no choice but to go to court to say, no, this is wrong, and to try to stop the Attorney General from hindering these organizations from saving babies' lives and changing women's lives.
Yeah. We see in Pennsylvania the race tightening between Dave McCormick and Bob Casey. That was a double-digit thing a few months ago. Now it's half that. How vulnerable, Michael, is Bob Casey this year?
Well, I think this is probably going to be the biggest challenge that he has faced since he first took office in the Senate back after the 2006 elections. Part of that reason is Dave McCormick is the best funded of any of the opponents Casey has had before. But also, Casey can be closely tied to Joe Biden. I mean, they're both from Scranton. They both have been advancing policies that are not popular with Pennsylvanians. Casey votes with the president almost 100% of the time. And so I think if McCormick continues to tag Casey with the woes of the Biden administration, he stands a good chance at eking out a victory in November.
All right. Hard to believe, Jason, the election is just 6 months away. Wow. Doesn't feel like that long. And we want to make sure listeners know what's on the ballot this fall. And besides all the important races, there's a referendum that will be decided. It's called the Equality Amendment. You say this is very dangerous. How come?
Yeah, you're hearing some organizations referring to this as a parental replacement act because of how it would negatively impact parental rights. I'm going to suggest that maybe we should also refer to it as the gender amendment, because essentially this would grant a constitutional right for biological males who self-identify as female to compete against female athletes. So the Riley Gaines situation has been so much in the news. Most New Yorkers, even based on recent polling, about 59%, do not feel comfortable having biological males competing against their daughters and granddaughters. But if the gender amendment becomes law in New York, it will be in the Constitution. They will have a right to do so.
Yeah. We already mentioned, Michael, the Biden administration reclassifying marijuana. They're also overhauling Title IX, and that has got a lot of folks concerned, including you. What is going to be the real effect of this on privacy rights at schools, and not to mention what Jason just referred to, the war on women's sports?
These new changes with Title IX are set to go into effect in August, but already lawsuits have been filed by a number of states, and I think there'll be more lawsuits against it to try to push back against what the Biden administration is doing. The impact of this will impact girls' sports, but then it's also going to especially impact privacy rights related to bathrooms, locker rooms, and those sorts of things. And Americans need to understand what the Biden administration is doing and trying to force on our schools and on our children and families. Jason mentioned Riley Gaines, and we have her coming for our banquet at the end of May in Pittsburgh. For people who want to find out more about that, they can find information on our website.
All right. We'll give that website right now since you teased it, Michael. You can go find out more about that or read the article about why recreational marijuana is anti-science, anti-safety, and more big government. What is that site, Michael?
PAFamily.org.
And get up to speed on the so-called Equality Amendment in New York on the ballot this November. Jason, where can folks learn more?
NewYorkFamilies.org.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Capital Connection. The name of the program comes your way every Friday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org. Just look for the news tab on the podcast page.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast for this afternoon. Partial sunshine and warm. High temperature 70s and low 80s. Clouding up tonight. A couple of showers and thunderstorms in parts of the area tonight, mainly western New York and western Pennsylvania. Low temps mostly 50. Then for tomorrow and Sunday, rather cloudy, cooler. Some showers in the area from time to time. High temperatures over the weekend, generally in the 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. And finally at noon, mailman to the rescue. A Cheektowaga, New York letter carrier saved the day recently near Buffalo when he rushed people to safety from a smoke-filled apartment building that had caught fire.
Well, my dad being a cop, my mom being a nurse, it kind of just sprung into action. I was a CNA for a while, so like I said, it's kind of in my blood, I guess.
Kashif Hakim had been on the job for just 6 months when he sprang into action. He banged on the doors of at least 12 apartment units, telling those inside to get out.
As I'm coming back around, one guy's like, "Hey, yo, was that you knocking on my door?" I'm like, "Yeah." He was like, "Man, I appreciate it, brother. I was in there asleep, man. You might have saved my life."
Union rep David Groskoff says letter carriers are not trained on how to respond to house fires, and he couldn't be more proud of Kashif Hakim.
We come across, you know, sometimes some pretty serious situations, and I'm always proud of, you know, my men and women that I represent when they go above and beyond out there, you know, not only as being a letter carrier, but, you know, just being a good citizen and somebody that's helping out their community for somebody in need.
Hakim says he did not do what he did for a pat on the back. He did it because it was the right thing to do, and he'd do it all over again in a heartbeat if need be. Kashif Hakim, the hero mailman from Cheektowaga, New York. And that's the world we live in, Friday, May the 3rd. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.